You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. Today's sermon focuses on Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. In this section, God is wanting to greatly bless us so that we can know His Word, follow what it says, and be at peace and content in every circumstance. What wonderful blessings! May God grant them to us all. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we focus tonight on the title of our sermon, Peace and Thanksgiving in Every Circumstance. Is that possible? Does that make sense? How can we have peace and thanksgiving in every circumstance? We're going to find out a little bit more about that tonight. I think sometimes we associate the word peace maybe with the absence of war. Or we associate thanksgiving with some kind of a special blessing. I don't think those ways are wrong to look at peace and thanksgiving. However, though, I believe tonight that God is calling us to a much higher view of the reality of peace and also a much more beneficial way of dealing with thanksgiving, not only at the time of Thanksgiving, our national day of Thanksgiving, but even throughout our daily Christian lives. Tonight we turn our attention to Philippians chapter 4 as we pick up in verse 6. As I proceed here into this text, keep in mind that Paul wrote this letter and he wrote it while he was in prison. I doubt that that was a prison like we have today, with a nice warm cell and a color television and clothes and books and all the things you wanted. It was probably a pretty difficult place to be. So writing this letter from prison, and why is he writing the letter? Really, what the letter is about is he is thanking the believers in Philippi for the gift of support that they sent to him to help him during this difficult time while he was in prison. So even while Paul was in chains, he could see God's hand of blessing in his life, and he didn't simply see it, but he took action and he gave thanks, not simply saying thanks, but writing out the letter, writing a very long letter, and sending it all the way to Philippi. Let's get into our text a little bit. In this first section, I call it Anxiety Gone, Peace Received. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what's that all about? Let's look at it more carefully. First of all, picking up on some of these words. Let's go back to the text. So it says, be anxious for nothing. Another word we could use there would be distracted for nothing. So there are anxieties in life we can deal with. There are distractions in life we can deal with. And neither one of them are things that we like. Also, too, it says we are to do this with supplication as we take these things to God. What is supplication? Supplication is a very earnest kind of prayer. It's almost as if we're going to God and we're begging, dear Lord, please help me in this way. Please help me in that way. Please take away my pain. Please heal my loved one of cancer. It's a begging of God. It's a very earnest kind of a prayer. Also, too, here, God wants us to pick up this idea of a trade. So we are identifying certain things, we are giving them to God, and God is giving us something wonderful in return. Before we get to that, though, when we are anxious or distracted about things, what parts of us are really affected by anxiety or distraction? Actually, it told us right in our text, it is our hearts and minds that are affected. Those anxieties are not pleasant. What can they result in? They can result in stress. They can result in sleepless nights. And if we really want to get serious here, sometimes enough anxiety or enough distraction can even lead people all the way to take their own lives. So these are really serious things. God knows they can come into our lives, and God doesn't want them in our lives. So there's good news. God has given us a remedy, and he invites us to take advantage of it by getting rid of our anxieties, by taking them to God with praying, with supplication, with begging. But he also said, did you catch it? He said, do so with thanksgiving. I think that's a key component of this, with thanksgiving. If I'm going to take my own anxieties and bring them to God, what does that force me to do? I have to dig into my anxieties. I have to kind of take them out from the bag, lay them on the table in order to pass them on to God. And do I even want to see them or think about them or deal with them? That's a hard thing. I'd rather kind of keep them away from me, but I have to grab a hold of them in order to pass them on. God realizes that. But God is saying, go ahead, grab a hold of them. And as you're getting weighed down by your anxieties, don't forget that you have many blessings. So God is saying, as you are grabbing the anxieties and passing them on in prayer, look at all the blessings we have and let's give thanks to God. As I think about my own life, when I think about people who have committed to be part of our congregation here, but they do not come either at all or very often, if I think about them too much, that starts to make me anxious because I'm sad for them that they're not coming. I'm sad that they're saying no to Jesus who gave his life for their sins. I'm sad that they might be off track in their lives and headed in a way that would be a horrible eternity. So I can start to get anxious about them. But then God reminds me that there are many who are very faithful in coming to receive his blessings. So in the midst of getting anxious about some people, I am so thankful for other people who are dedicated to the Word of God, who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and who faithfully come and receive and benefit. So can you see how the anxieties pull us down, but the giving of thanks, God uses that to lift us back up. God calls us to do that even on a daily basis. Every day, take all we're anxious about, give it to God, and then do so with thanksgiving. And then he invites us to receive his peace in return. And what does God do with his peace? He uses his peace to guard our hearts and our minds, the very things that are attacked by the anxiety. If you think about it carefully, God has this all figured out. He's put it there before us. He's simply saying, understand it. Rejoice in it. Take advantage of it. Let's go on to the second part. You can see I have a progression here going from our thoughts to our practices to God's peace. Notice what it says, picking up in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, or we might say dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, or we might say holy, whatever is lovely or pleasing, whatever is of good repute, in other words, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or virtue, and if anything worthy of praise, what should we do? He tells us, let your mind dwell on these things. And then Paul continues, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Why should we do that? He tells us a very great advantage. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's take a little bit closer look at that. First of all, he's telling us to set our minds on the right things, not on the wrong things. Now, we live in a world today where almost everywhere we turn, the world is trying to get our minds set on the wrong things. And if we allow that to happen, that can take over our minds. And nothing in this section I read, especially in verse 8, none of that will be in our minds. That can happen. So God is telling us, be self-disciplined. Don't click on things you shouldn't click on when you're on the computer. Don't even look in the newspaper sometimes. God is calling us to be that way. He wants us to be closed to the things of the world. He wants us to be open to the things of God. But that's not enough, though, simply to dwell on the right things, but that is a step in the right direction. And then he says we are to do the right things. So it's one thing to know what the right thing is. It's a whole other thing to do it. I think about a passage like Romans chapter 2. In verse 13, it says, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. But we cannot truly do anything good unless we are united to Jesus Christ in faith. Like we looked at last Sunday there in Hebrews 11, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we cannot truly do anything good unless we first of all have faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And then there's another blessing here, because God is saying, dwell on the right things, put them into practice, and then God says, He Himself, who is the God of peace, He will come and He will dwell within us. So earlier on in the reading, it was talking about God giving us peace. Now God is saying that He, the God of peace, will actually come and live within us. Think about these words here in John chapter 14 that were spoken by Jesus. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God wants us to know that He's not a God who is far away. God is a God who made us. God is a God who sent His Son for us. And God is a God who wants to be very close to us and even within us, both now and forevermore. So we shouldn't think that we can get away from God. In fact, we shouldn't want to get away from God. We should be glad that He loves us so much that He is with us. Let's go on to the third and final part today. I'm calling it Content in Christ. Picking up in verse 10, the Bible says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content, thus satisfied, in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So what's that all about now? First of all, we see that the Philippians, Paul tells us, they were concerned about Paul, but they had no way of doing anything about it. But then God gave them an opportunity. And what happened when God gave the opportunity? They took action and they seized that opportunity. Sometimes our lives will be the same as well. We can't do everything. There's just not opportunity. However, God has blessed us with many things, and when the opportunity comes, God is calling us to seize the opportunity, not to earn our way into heaven, but to give God glory and to thank Him for all the things that He has given to us. What is this idea about being content in every circumstance? How is that possible? When I think about circumstances, some are wonderful, some are horrible, and some are kind of in between. So because circumstances can greatly vary, how could we possibly be content in every single circumstance? This is how I'm looking at it. I want to focus here on this reality of not tying our contentment to our circumstances, but rather tying our contentment to our relationship with God. When we know Jesus Christ as Savior, that means that God is our Father. Think about an earthly father. Does a good earthly father do everything he can to provide for his family? He does. And if he's not doing so, he's not a good earthly father. Is our Heavenly Father a good father? He is. We can be certain of that. Does our Heavenly Father have all of the resources of the entire universe at His disposal? Could He give us whatever He wanted to give us at any time He wanted to give it? Could He do that? By all means, He could. So, how can we be content then in every circumstance? Let's say we have a circumstance, it's a difficult circumstance, and we don't have very much at the time. How can we be content with that? We can be content because we know that God is aware of our circumstances. We know that God loves us. We know that God could give us more if God chose to do so. But for some reason, God is choosing to give us only this much. So in that circumstance, I can say, okay, I'd like to have a little bit more here, God, but I know You are my Heavenly Father. I know You love me. I know You could give me more, but at this time, You're choosing to give me only this much. Therefore, knowing what I know, and in the relationship that I'm in, I can be content in that circumstance. God wants us to see it that way. What if He blesses us with much? That would be, from a human perspective, a better circumstance. But if we are blessed with more, then we have a greater responsibility in order to help those around us who are in need. So some circumstances are one way, some are another way. But in every case, so when we know Christ as Savior, we can be at peace knowing our sins are forgiven. We can be at peace knowing God's aware of our situation. We can be at peace and content knowing that what we have is what God knows that we need at that particular time. And finally, I guess I need to add here, the very last verse, how are we able to have this contentment? Paul said, I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. So when the circumstance is good, I'm going to make it because of Christ. When the circumstance is maybe not so good, I'm going to make it because of Christ. So what's important? That we are focusing every day on our relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we know Christ? Well, God's the one who enables us to know Him. How do we grow in that relationship? How do we continue in that relationship? God does that work through His Word. These are key things for our lives in Christ. Let me conclude like this. On this eve of our National Day of Thanksgiving, let me summarize the sermon in this way. May God help us to keep trading with Him, giving Him our anxieties, and receiving from Him His peace. May God help us to honor Him with our lives, knowing that He is with us, and knowing that because of that, everything's going to be okay. Let us also be content in Christ, knowing that whatever we have, in whatever circumstance, is what God is saying that we need at that time. So thinking it through in that way, saying, okay, God, here it is. Here's what I have. I might not agree, but when I know that You love me, when I know that I'm saved through Your Son, when I know that You're going to carry me all the way through to heaven, I can be content. May God bless us in all those ways. Not only tonight, not only tomorrow, but each and every day of our Christian lives until finally we are with God forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. This program is listener-supported. Therefore, if the Lord leads you to give, go to benefitfromthebible.com, then click on the Donate button. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. To ask a question, write us at questions@benefitfromthebible.com. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's Word of Truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.